BBC Radio Oxford. It has just gone 2:07. Now, it is a big year for a local building company, Kingerley. They are 150 years old this year, and Thomas Henry Kingerley was a plumber. He was living in Banbury and he set up a business in 1868. And two of his great-great-grandsons are still involved in running the business today. And joining me in the studio, delighted to say, we have Liz Woolley, who's a local historian, who's been researching into Kingerley, the company and the family history, and Michael Puttick, who is the managing director. Welcome to you both.
Hello, Lily. Hello. Lovely to be here.
Lovely. We were just saying, lovely to be here in the warm, Liz, because we've been out in the drizzle before.
We have.
For a breakfast show. So.
Thank you for inviting me inside this time.
Absolutely my pleasure. Well, do you know what, Michael, I might start with you and just find out how long you've been involved and whether working in the Kingerley company, does it feel like a family still?
Well, I've been with the company for 17 years and I can honestly say, yes, it is a family. I came from a family business that I'd been with for 23 years and the reason I joined Kingerley was because I wanted to follow that ethic.
How wonderful. Now, Liz, take me back, if you wouldn't mind, 150 years. How did it all start?
Well, as you said, Lily, it started in Banbury. This man called Thomas Henry Kingerley, or THK, as we sometimes refer to him. He was actually the son of a plumber, so his father already had a business in Banbury. But he took it over in 1868, and he continued in Banbury, but expanded it. And then in 1883, he came to Oxford and very, very rapidly became the biggest builder in Oxford at the time. This was a period when Oxford was expanding hugely. The city was growing in all directions, north, south, east and west. And Kingerley and the firm that he established and brought with him here was one of the key players in the development of Oxford, both physically and socially as well.
Yeah, because I was just thinking about this and how different Oxford would be without the Kingerley firm, because as you say, they were so integral in the foundations, both socially and the buildings that
yes, we have. That's really true. I mean, Kingerley, we reckon, were responsible for probably near 1,000 terraced houses in Oxford, in the suburbs of Oxford. A lot of them off the Botley Road, of course, and the Botley Road would be completely different if it wasn't for Kingerley, because not only did they build nearly all the terraces off the Botley Road, but they also occupied a large builder's yard there. They built what became the Majestic Cinema. It was originally an ice rink, but some people may remember it as the Majestic Cinema, which is where the Waitrose building is now. And several other large buildings along the Botley Road were the responsibility of Kingerley. But they also built houses in East Oxford, particularly in what the area we know as Iffley Fields, and also in South Oxford off the Abingdon Road. So the whole estate to the south of Hinksey Park was built by Kingerley. So they had a huge impact on the physical, the look of Oxford. And the way it was laid out. And that happened really pretty rapidly between Thomas Henry coming here in 1883 and the First World War. Those 1,000 or so terraced houses were built.
How amazing. Michael, when you sort of drive around Oxford, do you sort of tick things off and go, well, we did that, and feel a sort of, a real pride, I imagine, driving
Very
around?
Very much so. Yeah. Certainly in my 17 years, but prior to that, you know, to understand the history of Kingerley is very special. My wife doesn't quite share the same interest when I come to showing her and family and friends on a very regular basis.
What are you
built.
Showing them? Just like plans and
no, no,
maps
no, no.
And
take them on guided.
Do you take them on a guided on tour?
Kingerley guided tours, absolutely.
I think you should make this into a commercial enterprise.
I think so. We'll get you an umbrella. It'll be wonderful. And let's talk a little bit more, Liz, if you wouldn't mind, about this man, THK, Thomas Henry Kingerley, because he must have been a really interesting character, and he really changed the makeup of the population as well of the county.
Yes, he did, because, as I say, he came to Oxford in 1883. We know that he was already employing quite a number of men in Banbury, but within just a few years of coming to Oxford, he was employing probably 30 or 40 men, and then within a decade, he was employing 200. So he was a massive employer in Oxford, one of the biggest. Oxford University Press was probably employing similar numbers, but Kingerley really made a difference.
Wow.
to the makeup of Oxford's population, because young men actually came into Oxford, migrated into Oxford to take up building jobs, and a lot of them were with Kingerley. I mean, I should say that there were other large firms as well, but Kingerley was certainly the biggest, or certainly one of the biggest at this period. So building, house building was really big business in Oxford, and young men were coming in large numbers. So it really sort of changed the makeup of the population, drew young men in from the rural areas, from rural Oxfordshire and indeed beyond. So people coming in from outside. This was a period of enormous social change anyway, but big firms like Kingerley made a difference to how Oxford looked and felt and its social makeup, as I say.
And you've also been looking into the family history sort of in general. And I sort of picked up Carl Kingerley was it the private secretary of the arts and crafts? I mean, one of my heroes, actually, in terms of sort of design, William... Have I got the wrong gentleman?
You've got the wrong William Morris. I'm so sorry. It so often happens. No, but another very famous William Morris of Oxford, who was later Lord Nuffield, the car manufacturer.
Oh, of course.
Yes, so it's very confusing, isn't it? There's two famous Oxford William Morrises, talking about the car manufacturer in this case, the Cowley car manufacturer. So yes, you're absolutely right. Carl Kingerley, who was the third generation of the Kingerley family in Oxford, was William Morris, Lord Nuffield's private secretary for many years, up until Morris's death, actually. And I think it's true to say that they had not only a close working relationship, but a close friendship as well. And he was very close to Lord Nuffield's wife, Lady Nuffield, as well, who obviously lived after Lord Nuffield. And Carl Kingerley was very much involved in Lord Nuffield's kind of personal affairs, as well as his business affairs as well, and real sort of confidant and friend, I think.
And how did you go about sort of researching this? I mean, have the great-grandsons, have they kept sort of the annals of history and sort of passed it over to you, or did you have to do a bit of digging?
Well, I've done a lot of digging. I've got a big spade,
which is good for foundations,
which Michael lent me,
about.
Obviously, from the company storeroom. And yes, we've done a lot of research in a really wide variety of different sources. So lots of stuff from the Oxfordshire History Centre in Cowley, which of course holds all sorts of interesting records about buildings in particular. It's true to say that originally I was told that there was no Kingerley archive with the firm, with the company. And then these three metal boxes appeared, didn't they, Michael, out of the depths of David Kingerley's office, and I'm not sure how long they'd been there. They were quite dusty. Rather worryingly, they are labelled 1, 3, and 4. So somewhere there is number 2, and we haven't come across it yet, unfortunately. But they are full of amazing documents to do with the family, mostly, rather than the building firm. But of course, the two are so intimately connected. And they actually include a letter which was written by Thomas Henry Kingerley himself when he was 10. So this is in the late 1840s. And it's just absolutely charming, talking to his brother. And it's all a sort of stream of consciousness, no punctuation at all. Talks about how there having been a horrible death in a fire, and then says something about the weather. And
yes, as a 10-year-old.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So lovely things like that. But also lots of information about the generations of the Kingerley firm taking over various aspects of the business and shares in various other companies. They had a lot of business interests outside the immediate business of building, if you like. So they held shares, for example, in the Oxford Cinematograph Company. Kingerley built a lot of theatres and cinemas, not only in Oxford but elsewhere. And they were shareholders, as I say, in the Oxford Cinematographic Company. They were shareholders in Salter's, the boat builders, and Salter and Kingerley were good friends. So they had lots of kind of ties within Oxford and indeed outside it as
Such
well.
Such big names as well that we hear. Michael, when you talk to David, the great-great-grandson of Thomas, what does he say about the fact that he's, you know, a fifth generation of this company?
Well, obviously very, very proud of the fact. The company ethos is something that's very, very near and dear to David and his cousin Richard. Loyalty in the business for both clients and our staff and employees is hugely important to us. And that's what he cares about.
Yeah, and does he ever think, what would Thomas have done?
I think he's too busy thinking about what he's got to do.
I'm sure he is. Well, I would love to come back to you, Liz and Michael, if I may, and talk about... We'll go from Victorian up to the present day in one fell swoop, but not after we've heard from Grace, You Don't Own Me, on BBC Radio Oxford. Well, we're celebrating, we're saying happy birthday, 150th birthday, to a local building firm, Kingerley. And we've got local historian Liz Woolley, who's been researching into the history of this amazing company and family, who basically, you know, changed the face of Oxfordshire. And we also have the current managing director, Michael Partick. So, Liz, it is hard to condense so much history in one fell swoop, but just tell me a little bit. You sort of hinted at it, sort of the late Victorian through to Edwardian. But Kingerley were involved in all aspects of life. There were schools, there were churches, sort of theatre, all sorts of things
right.
We recognise.
I mean, I think certainly by 1900, we can say that Thomas Henry Kingerley and his firm were not only the biggest building firm in Oxford, but they were also one of the biggest landlords. So they owned enormous numbers of houses, which they built and they kept to rent out. So a lot of people were the tenants of the Kingerley family. They also had a big effect on the city socially and politically, because Thomas Henry, very soon after he arrived here, was elected as a city councillor for the West Ward. He went on to be the mayor of Oxford. He went on to be the sheriff of Oxford. He sat on numerous committees. So his decision making had an effect on lots of different aspects of ordinary people's lives in Oxford and how the city itself was run, if you like. He was a well-known teetotaler, a nonconformist. He was a Congregationalist. And this was a period when nonconformity in Oxford was really growing, as it was in many cities. And Thomas Henry Kingerley was really at the forefront of that, I would say. He was a very leading Congregationalist, and his company built several Congregational churches in Oxford. So the Wheatley Congregational Church, for example, was built by Kingerley's company. The one in Summertown, very close to where we are, just opposite the studio here, was built by him.
Really?
In fact, designed by Thomas Henry Kingerley and built by his firm.
Wow. And
he certainly, his workers, he couldn't insist that they were teetotalers, but I'm sure he would like them to have been. But he spent quite a lot of time and energy encouraging his workers into activities that what we might have called at the time rational recreation. So there were things like a Kingerley band, there were cricket clubs, there was a football team and so on. There were temperance meetings of Kingerley workers and so forth. So again, along with the YMCA, he and his fellow teetotalers and nonconformists in particular had an influence over how these young men that were coming into lived their lives. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Michael, bring us up to speed, if you can. So what might we recognise now in some of the sort of the building projects maybe in Oxfordshire and beyond that you've worked on?
Well, in terms of major projects that we've recently completed, we've done a huge amount of work for St John's College, amongst others, and certainly one project we're incredibly proud of is the new Kendrew Quadrangle in St Giles.
Oh, wow.
We built a new quadrangle for Pembroke College, and out of the Oxford area, we built the Flint House, which some of your listeners may know as the RIBA Grand Designs House of the Year, which we completed in 2015. In terms of current projects, we're building a £13 million private house complex out in the Cotswolds.
That's for me, actually.
That's so kind, isn't it? If you find box two, you might be able to do that, Liz.
That's what I'm hoping.
We're building a £12 million leisure facility out in Bedfordshire. And we've currently are in just about to complete. You probably noticed the new Fairfield Care Home in the Banbury Road.
Yes.
So we not only operate in Oxford, but within about a 75-mile radius.
Oh, amazing! Well, I guess my last question to both of you maybe is: do we know? Could we hazard a guess what the next 150 years might have in store for Kingerley? Where would you like it to go, Michael?
I think with all the research that Liz has done, I think for us as a business, we just want continuity. We want to be able to deliver for our clients and look after our staff. and, you know, listening in the current news to the demise of Carillion, our view is within sensible limitations, small is beautiful.
Lovely. Well, Liz and Michael, thank you so much indeed. And Liz, we will hear some wonderful history with you again to come. Thank you very much, Liz and Michael.
Thank you.